You that have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Malachi, chapter 1. The book of Malachi, chapter 1. While you're turning there, I want to say that it is a privilege to be here. Not only today, but we've had the privilege of being here throughout the conference. And I stand amazed at what the grace of God has done for all of us. We would appreciate your prayers concerning the work that God has called me to do. My wife is behind what the Lord has called me to do, 100% of which I'm thankful for. My little boy is behind it. I'm praying someday the Lord will save him, use him in his service. But you pray for us. We want to do that which God has called us to do for his honor and for his glory. And the only way I know how to do it is according to the way that he has said that it is to be done. I had wondered concerning what to preach. And I know every minister of God does when they are invited to preach somewhere. They want the message that God would lay upon their heart. I have a message entitled, God's Will for His Churches, and I believe that's what we've heard all the way through. And that's the truth. God has a will for His churches. And our rule of faith and practice is the Bible. And I've been confronted by some people in times past, and they have come to me and said, well, such and such a church doesn't do this concerning a doctrine teaching of the Word of God. And I said, since when has such and such a church become our rule of faith and practice? It's either the Bible or we don't have a rule. And again, before I begin my message, I also want to say this. You can believe it or not, but I've heard the statement made by people that we ought to agree to disagree. Beloved, we ought to agree, because otherwise we can't walk together. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. How can two walk together lest they be agreed? So you pray that the Lord will bless us. I'm expecting His blessings. I'm looking forward to the time when we shall be able to move up into the field of labor here in Michigan. We're wanting to wait upon till after that the baby is born, and when the doctor gives the okay that we can. And I'm glad that God has put it upon my heart, as He did David of old in Psalms 31, in thee do I put my trust, my times are in thy hand. I'm glad my times aren't in yours, and I'm sure you're glad that your times aren't in these hands. Mine are in his. There's no better hands to be in. The book of Malachi chapter 1, I'd like to begin reading with verse 1. Thank the Lord for this privilege to be able to speak today. And I'm sure that you're physically tired, and I'm physically tired, and I'm going to talk to you about a burden. But you pray that the Lord will bless His Word to each of our hearts. Malachi chapter 1 and verse 1. The Word of the Lord said, the burden of the Word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, in what way hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I love Jacob. And I hated Esau. And I have learned and I have been taught, and I believe and I preach, that God did not love Esau any lesser than Jacob. He just didn't love him at all. Then we read, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the jackals of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, we will return and build the desolate places. That's what Edom said. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. And they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. Your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. I'm going to stop there at this time, and I especially want to call your attention to verse 1. This is my text and my subject. The burden of the word of the Lord. You pray for me as I try to bring the message God has laid upon my heart. I want to bring out some things by God's help here concerning the purpose of God's message through the prophet Malachi. In the first 5 verses of this first chapter of Malachi, we find him delivering a message unto Israel. He was raised up by God for this divine purpose. You see, they had evidently become ungrateful and unresponsive to the blessings and the call of God to them to serve Him and to walk with Him. Not only ungrateful, but unresponsive seemingly. God loved them without a reason in them. God loved them without a cause, just as He has you and I. But in reading the book of Malachi, you shall find that he was raised up by God to sometimes rebuke and reprove the people for their sins. Look with me, please, in chapter 2 and verse 9 for an illustration of some of the sins that he had to rebuke. Chapter 2 and verse 9, therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. Evidently, they had carried out some of what the law had said, but only that which pleased them, and not all of the law. Well, if we're not careful, churches of the Lord Jesus Christ also can become like that. Not following all of God's will, but only partially. That is sin in the sight of God. Chapter 3 and verse 8. Chapter 3 and verse 8. This is another sin of which Malachi was raised up of God to speak against to the children of the Lord. He said, will a man rob God, yet ye have robbed me? But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And the answer is in tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and try me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven, and pour out for you a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Another sin that Malachi had to rebuke was they had robbed God of tithes and offerings, of that which was his and belonged unto him. These sins and more were denounced by the prophet Malachi. Now he was raised up of the Lord to be a witness for God to the people of Israel. He was God's witness against sin. And the very name Malachi, from my understanding and my studies, means my messenger, sent of God with my message for my people. And truly, he did have a message from the Lord. Amen. Malachi was not a bearer of fables. He had a message from God, and it's called in verse 1 by a specific name, the burden of the word of the Lord. Now, Malachi had a message from God, and that message was heavy upon him. Now, I want you to note here that Malachi did not say the burdensome word of the Lord. Neither did Malachi refer to it as the burden of the Lord, but as the burden of the word of the Lord. And before I proceed, I want to turn to the New Testament, because I believe that even there we find the writers being moved by the Holy Spirit And the Word of God being inspired, I believe we can see in the New Testament what Malachi meant by the words, the burden of the Word of the Lord. First of all, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, says here, For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Then also in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16, I believe the New Testament way of putting the way Malachi put the burden of the word of the Lord in the Old Testament, Paul said, necessity is laid upon me, and woe if I preach not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, why'd you have to preach? Necessity's laid upon me. Malachi, why'd you have to denounce the sins of the people? The burden of the word of the Lord is upon me. Beloved, those that God calls into the ministry, those that God calls as pastors of churches, these men of God mean business for Him. I'm afraid that in the day in which we live, that the ministry of God, which is a God-called ministry, is frowned upon and felt very lightly of. Malachi's ministry was thought lightly of. Jeremiah's ministry was thought lightly of. The prophets of old, their ministry were thought lightly of. God's men are not sent into the world and under Holy Spirit leadership and placed as an overseer of a church to tickle men's ears, to tell fables, to bear some story which will bring no profit for their soul or for their lives. You see, God's men should always mean business for the Lord. They're not called and sent to a church under Holy Spirit leadership to play, but are sent to preach and to plead with men, women, boys, and girls for the sake of Jesus, the destiny of their lives, the molding of their lives also. God's men, of whom I am one, have a burden of the word of the Lord upon me. God's word, I believe Jeremiah put it better than I when he said, it's as fire in my bones. What is it to you, Malachi? It's the burden of the word of the Lord. It's upon me. I wish not to get rid of it, but it's pressing me, and I cannot refrain. God's word, beloved, I don't have a feather in my cap. I don't have a gown or a robe on my back, but I've got a burden on my heart. God's men who are truly called have something to say which presses upon them so much that they must say it or die. And I'm afraid that many people do not realize nor understand the burden of the word of the Lord that is upon God's men. I'm afraid that some who profess to be God's men don't understand it. And I'm afraid they don't much care about it anymore, seemingly. Amen. Paul said to the church at Galatia, he said, I marvel that you are so soon removed. I marvel at a lot of churches today also. But he said, I seek not to please men, for I seek to please God. Beloved, God called men do not have a light burden. They do not have a light weight. God's men have within them and upon them the burden of the word of the Lord. Now I realize that some people do not recognize what this burden upon them is, or even upon their pastor. But beloved, it is my prayer this morning that you'll see more than ever before what the burden of the word of the Lord is upon God's men. There are some servants of God who are tempted, like all servants of God, to run away from the burden of the word of the Lord. Every one of us have been tempted to do so. Some have tried. Some have tried as Jonah of old, when he tried to get out from under the burden of the word of the Lord to go to Nineveh. Jonah tried to get away from it. There are other men who tried to get rid of the burden of the word of the Lord by seeking something less responsible,
something less wearing upon the heart. In churches, when some of the members do not conduct themselves as they should for the glory of the Lord, when the business of the church isn't carried out like that it should be, or when members won't stand for God's word like they should behind the man whom God has called, because men are tempted to quit. But beloved, do not misunderstand me. Oh, that God has called and have this burden upon them. God's true men cannot stop bearing the burden of the word of the Lord, and they don't want to. And they don't want to, but I hope and pray that we'll all realize and recognize more than ever before. Sometimes folks will come to their pastor. They'll come to a preacher with something like a toothache just before the service begins. And the burden of the word of the Lord has been pressing upon them all week, or even longer. 11. The burden of the word of the Lord that God's men bear is for God and Jesus' sake and for the good of others. All true men of God have this burden. Every one of them. Every one of them. There are some things that I wish to bring out at this time concerning this subject. The burden of the word of the Lord. Why does Malachi call it this? And of course it was given unto him under the leadership of God, under God's direction. And I pray, and I believe in the school of Jesus. You know, he said unto his church in Luke 24, he said, he opened their hearts unto the understanding of the scriptures. I believe in that kind of school, the Lord's. I believe only he can open up the hearts. Somebody might be able to penetrate into your mind, but only he can open your heart. Amen. And only he can set in your heart that which you need to know, and that which you need to practice, that which you need to witness of, as you should. But beloved, the word of the Lord is a burden because it's God's word. Now that's what he said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, isn't it? For all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for correction, for reproof, for rebuke, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished in all things. It's God's word. If I preach that which I like, if I preach that which is of man, there's no burden of the Lord there. God's truth is as a weight in and on God's men. Modern teaching and modern ways are light and triflesome. They're not pressing. Beloved, God's word is truth. It presses upon the hearts and souls and minds and bodies of the messengers of the Lord. When God gives God's men a message in their studies, it has a heavy load upon them. And until they deliver it, it continues to press upon them. God's men may walk the floors at night and soak their pillows with tears. And the reason why is because, number one, the burden of the word of the Lord's upon them. Amen. Jeremiah had tried to get out from under it. He said, I will speak in thy name no more. But the burden of the word of the Lord was heavier upon him than any fleshly desire ever could be. Well, the word of the Lord is a burden to God's men when they preach it. When they preach it. It has always pressed upon me when I've studied. Is it not you that are called of the Lord? It presses upon you when you study. Weighs heavy upon you when you preach it. One writer once said, the burdens of God's men that they feel in connection with preaching God's word and in connection with their pulpit ministries are enough to make them old before their time. So bear with God's men when they may not seem as interested in the things that you think they ought to be interested in. Because the burden of the word of the Lord's upon them. Amen. You think it's the easiest thing in the world to preach the word of God? Try it. I don't mean to get up in front of people.
That isn't the fear at all that I'm speaking of. I mean the handling of the Word of God, lest it be misused. God's message burdens God's men when they preach it as well as when they prepare it. Many of God's men have broke. Some are broken today that I know of. We've all would have been broke or would break if it were not for the marvelous grace of God. But some have broke because of the strain they were in. Not only because of the burden of the word of the Lord, but because of the apathy of the people they preached to. God's word is a burden to God's men even after they've preached it. Do you think God's men can step out of the pulpit and the burden of the word of the Lord isn't upon them anymore? It is easier to go at the punch of time clock from 9 to 5 or 8 to 4 or whatever hours. Sure, it may bear upon your body, but it's nothing in comparison to the burden of the word of the Lord. It's still upon God's men after they deliver it. No matter what they do or where they go. My sins, Brother Titus, fish is too much. I want to let you in on something. Even when he is out in that boat, the burden of the word of the Lord's on him. Here's an example of what I mean concerning the burden of the word of the Lord is upon God's men even after they preach. A mother goes from her home to run some errands, and so she asks a neighbor or someone to take care of her child while she's away. Sometimes this is necessary. Perhaps a grandmother will sit for a few moments. Does that mother forget all about her child while she's away? No, she doesn't. No way. Her thoughts are still of that child. Beloved, the burden of the word of the Lord clings to God's men even after they finish the message. Many times, church members will go home from the services, forget all that's what's said if they've listened at all. But God's men who bear the burden don't ever lose it. But abides and remains on them and in them. Doesn't matter what I do or where I go, the burden of the word of the Lord is upon me. But I let you in on something. I don't want your pity. I don't want it any other way. And true to God, all of God's men like it just like that. God's word is referred to this burden of the word of the Lord because it rebukes sin. Yes, it does. The burden of the word of the Lord. What did Malachi do? My messenger to my people with my message. What was his purpose in preaching unto the children of Israel? Oftentimes there in just that book which has so very few chapters, we find the rebuking of the sins. Well, God's word is a burden because it rebukes sin. There was once a preacher long ago and read this story somewhere. I think it's very applicable. There was a preacher many years ago who never rebuked sin in his church, in his own flock of which God had given unto him, made him overseer of. He was a very popular preacher. The story goes that one day a man came to him and said, "Preacher, a member of your congregation has been stealing my chickens." He said, "I wish you'd speak to him about stealing." Well, the preacher replied and said, "Sir, if I rebuke stealing in my congregation, it'd throw a damper over the whole congregation." And it would have. No doubt it would have. So he said, "I shall avoid that subject." Like many pulpits today. Stealing was the very sin he should have been preaching against. People think God's men get personal. I want to tell you, they just deliver what the Lord gives unto them. And it's the word of the Lord that gets personal. When I was saved by the grace of God when I was 10 years old, it wasn't that preacher that got personal with me. It was the Word of God that was bearing upon him and came to my heart. If you or I are offended at what God's Word says, if you or I are rebuked or reproved by what God's Word says, praise be to God.
That's what it's for.
God's Word presses upon men so that they must rebuke all sins because sin is grieving in the sight of the Lord. A fellow once said, well, there's big sins and little sins. If that were so, there'd be a big God and a little God, and there are none. There's just one God, and He's big, and there's big sins, every one of them. I'm sure that you don't enjoy being rebuked for sin. But, beloved, necessity bears upon God's men. Even of this. Somebody says, well, only preach the gospel. Paul preached more than the gospel.
Amen.
The gospel that won't do much for your life isn't much good for your soul. Beloved, all sin must be rebuked. And if God's men refuse to bear the burden of the word of the Lord, erring brothers and sisters will go unwarned. And also, if we refuse to rebuke sin and unwillingness to follow the leadership God gives us, then God will take over and one day just whip the fire out of us. Because if you're the Lord's, He'll do it. Rebuking of sin by God's Word is not pleasant to the ears, and neither is it pleasant to those who must rebuke sin. Within the calling of the Lord and because of the burden of the Word of God, God's men must rebuke sin. They must rebuke it sharply. It's part of the work wherein God has called them. It's as much a part of the work as administering the ordinances. You're here lost today without Christ as your personal Savior. It is better that I tell you the truth than flatter you with a lie. And when God's people err from the faith, it is better that we tell them the truth than flatter them with a lie.
Amen.
When a pastor's heart grieves over those who do not repent and turn to Jesus, when they refuse to flee from the unquenchable fire, listen, their heart grieves because they know of the dreadful future of which you face. And if I refuse, or any of God's men refuse, to bear the burden of the word of the Lord in warning sinners from the wrath to come, it would be better if I had never been born.
That's right.
Well, something else this afternoon. And these things are not original with me, but I'm so glad I haven't heard a new doctrine this conference. It's a burden because of the way people treat the Word of God.
Amen.
I said, how do people treat God's Word? Sometimes they neglect it. On one occasion, Jesus said in the Gospels, He said, take heed how you hear. That is, the manner in which you hear. Some people already have their mind made up when they come under the services of the Lord that whatever said, they just don't want to hear it, or they don't want to believe it, or they don't want to practice it. Have our hearts made set to obey the commands of the Lord. Take heed how you hear, that you hear with reverence.
Amen.
Hear with reverence the Word of God, with a heart that's set to obey that which is spoken from the Word of God. Yes, people neglect it. It's a shame how people behave many times when they meet to hear the Word of God. People have many things on their minds other than the message of the Lord. Many people treat God's Word like this. They'll hear it in a church service, and when the service is done, so's their hearing. God's men stand in anguish that souls be saved and the saved added, and backsliders making things right with God and with their church. And people are thinking, while the man of God is declaring the message of the Lord and it's pressing upon him, they're thinking about how he waves his arms or talks and pronounces his syllables.
Had somebody tell me one time, said, I've had a lot of people tell me a lot of things, but some of them have been very helpful. I had somebody tell me one time, said, why don't you just preach and let the Spirit do His work? And I said in as nice a way as I could, if you want me to let the Spirit have His right away in my life, I said, don't try and tell me what to preach. Beloved, believe it or not, a pastor of a church is a servant of God. A servant of God. For their sake. God's men are preaching God's word, and it presses upon them. They're concerned about leading men, women, boys, and girls to Christ. And people sometimes wonder how they say their words, and they'll take their pastor's mistakes home with them and have them over the dinner table. God's men have a life or death message. And I pray that you who are members of the Lord's kind of churches, that you take God's word to your heart. No wonder the psalmist said in the 119th Psalm, that I may hide thy word in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. Why the heart? Because if it isn't there, it won't do you any good anyplace else. And beloved, God's word's a burden upon God's men, because one day they're going to give an account for it. One day they'll give an account. You see, every message that God's men preach from the word of the Lord is on the heavenly record, if you please. It's on the heavenly record. God's men will give an account, and though some may not be concerned about how responsible they are concerning preaching it, I'm concerned about it. What I've heard this conference, they are also concerned about it. The burden of the word of the Lord is real. God's men speak because they cannot refrain. Oh, we get weary. Ever so weary. Our arms become heavy. But there are those who will help, and Jesus who strengthens. Pray that God will sustain God's men under the burden of the word of the Lord. It is heavy, and it is pressing upon them. And after all, what kind of sermons do you want? Those after men or those after God? Those from men or those from the Lord? Since the word of the Lord is a burden in itself, the burden of the word of the Lord, I want to close with this thought. You that are members of the Lord's churches, see, I want to be a pastor's friend, preacher's friend. I want to be a friend to all that I can. The wise man said, he that hath friends must show himself friendly.
Amen.
But sometimes there's folks who don't want you to be their friend, so that's why he said in the last part of that verse, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
Amen.
I want to be the friend of all that I possibly can.
Amen.
A friend by not betraying the truth.
Amen.
A friend by not compromising the truth. I want to love my brothers and sisters in the Lord, but the only way that I know how to love them is the way that the Bible says, love in truth.
Amen.
And since the word of the Lord is a burden within itself, I plead with you who are members of the Lord's churches to not make it any heavier or to not add to it.
Amen.
And here's what I mean by that. Some church members wonder why the preacher doesn't come and see him when they're sick. Call him.
Right.
He doesn't have ESP.
Amen.
God's word presses upon them so that some church members won't even come and shake their hand. I guess some folks have the opinion that if they told their pastor or the preacher that they enjoyed the message, that it'd give them a big head. I guess some have that opinion, but you know the Bible gives us commands, says greet all them that have the rule over you. It's a sin not to greet God's men. Do not make it heavier. Do not plunge God's men into sorrow. While God's word is a burden upon them, sometimes members will make their pastor's burden heavier, and the way in which they do is by their silence. By their silence. Now, beloved, by the grace of God, I want to be true to my call, to salvation, to service, to the ministry, to the field of labor of which He has called me. And in establishing missions that prayerfully and hopefully will be organized in the New Testament Missionary Baptist churches. I said, when are you going to organize churches? I know one thing. I will not ask my home church to organize a mission into a church until they give some evidence that they have received the Word of God.
Amen.
You got to build with the right kind of material, don't you?
Amen.
I realize people can change. I certainly want to have the right beginning. But beloved, sometimes church members will make their pastor's burden heavier by their silence. Now, I have learned this by experience, that it ought to be... Have you ever had any trouble when someone came forward and joined your church, asked to be a candidate for membership in the church of which you pastored, you that are pastors, and they were coming by baptism, they were saved, and they wanted to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism. Did you ever have any problem in getting the members of your church to vote to accept them on that ground? I've never heard of it. I mean, a person that's truly saved and wanted to become a member of the church of which you belong to, want to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism, no problem. Everyone's thrilled about it. Did you know you can get a motion and second and vote out of it right quick, can't you? It ought to be just as quick concerning disciplinary members. But some make the burden heavier upon the pastor because of their silence. Beloved, silence by church members when they ought to stand for the Lord and behind their pastor has caused the early grave of many of God's men. Now, I'm afraid some will answer for it. Or all of them shall answer for it, but I wonder the place where some of them are going to answer for it. Sometimes the pastor is considered as the song leader along with the one who must prepare the message. Sometimes he does have to lead the singing. But if there's men in the congregation that can do it, why not be a help? Some members of churches think that all the witnessing, all the visiting ought to be done by the pastor. Well, contrary to the thinking of many people, churches don't hire pastors.
Now, some may do, but I'm not talking about those kind. They call them. So if they didn't hire them, they can't fire them. They may force them to leave. They may have to leave. But, beloved, remember this. Compassion shown by God's men is demonstrated by preaching the Word of God without error and being true to it and true to you.
Amen.
They'll only be true to you if they stay true to the Word of God. The burden of the Word of the Lord, it teaches us that it's of great importance. God gives it to His men. He calls them to bear it for Jesus' sake. Follow what they preach according to the Word of God. Apply it to your life and obey it. People take God's Word and the burden of the Word of the Lord on God's men. Sometimes they'll blame a preacher, their pastor, when things go contrary to the way that they should. Now, no doubt some pastors and preachers are at fault concerning some teachings. But I am under the firm conviction that a church will not be torn apart by sticking with the Bible.
Amen.
It'll be built. Somebody said, what's it mean concerning the burden of the Word of the Lord? I believe it's just like what John said in his first epistle. He said, I've handled, I've seen their Word. May God help us all to follow the leadership that He has given us. Not to despise it, but to follow it. Not to forsake the leadership that He's given us, but to aid the leadership that He has given us. You see, the burden of the Word of the Lord bears upon God's men. Some folks don't understand what it's about. Perhaps some may.